You got the rock in your hand. You're under pressure, son. You better sink this J,
or your team is done.
I got a little story about some basketball. When it comes to my player, are you rock or no? But wait just a minute and listen first, as I get some shit off my chest and I finish this verse. Let me start with you cheesers. Y'all should just fade. With LaMarcus on quick, hitting threes all day. When you cowboy hat, you might be the word. Wearing them puffy ass jackets, man, you almost be cursed. Then there's the manual pajamas with the jump shot of poo. I bet it's Kyle Korver. That would make sense, dude. But enough about apparel that will get you in trouble. Just stand on up and do that 2K shuffle.
Welcome aboard the crazy train of the NBA 2K Shuffle. My name is Michael Parr, a.k.a. J. Parswish, a.k.a. Jump Shot Jesus. You might hear me in the Pro-Am Arena, especially as a walk-on nowadays, as Mikey Chameleonaire. With me, as always, is the Baron of Blocks and Boards, Max McDonald. Max, how you living?
Living well. I always enjoy the different introductions that we get to the show. I think it provides a little spice. I don't know. That was the word I came up with. But yeah, man, doing well. What you doing?
I am talking to you. We are going to be talking about a myriad of topics today on the show, such as an experiment with a glass cleaner, a little bit more about the jump shot creator, and NBA 2K18 news. Max, where do you want to start this today?
I think we'll just go ahead and get right into it with some of the MyPlayer stuff. I think I'm going to go ahead and detail the Jump Shot Jesus, which is you, Jump Shot, and that how that has unfolded that little story. I guess I'll just get right into it. But for those listening at home, basically, we all know that Mike over here is Jump Shot Jesus. If you didn't know, somehow over the time we've been together, Mike is Jump Shot Jesus. In that, he is the Jump Shot Creator Master. He is the Jump Shot Master. He knows how to shoot, when to shoot, all the good stuff. He's never taken a shot that he did not like. I'm bombing threes from Meadowbrook's angle. As he so puts it. And just all of those things. So I have made a multitude of different My Players this season. Season is not really accurate, I guess, this game cycle or whatever. But so I have my sharpshooter, of course, maxed out 96 overall since I'm, you know, superstar one. But anyway, long story short, you know, I was okay with my sharpshooter, but not fantastic. I could shoot, but, you know, I wouldn't say I was excellent. And so however many weeks back, maybe a month ago or something, I said, Mike, I want a jump shot. I want a jump shot. Jesus certified jump shot. Somehow we had never done that together, but we went ahead and did it. So I told him some of the criteria with what I liked in jump shots, what I didn't want to see, what I didn't, and beep, boop, 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 boop. Mike computes all that into his jump shot creator algorithm or whatever he's got going up in his head of his. And now I have a jump shot, Jesus jump shot. Can I just tell you that it has been a fantastic jump shot. I now green so many shots. I'm greening from half court. I mean, not half court. Well, half court in park, but you know, multiple steps behind the 3-point line in Pro-Am. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it really, but it's just an excellent jump shot. So, yeah. Any thoughts into your creative process in doing that jump shot, or in general, or what do you have to add to this whole little mini story?
Well, it was a little bit different than normal because, you know, at first I was giving you combinations with shots that you know, have used and liked in the past, and that's usually how I start off to get an idea of what you're looking for. But then you were like, hey, you know, using things I've used in the past, you know, all I'm looking for is a little bit of a hitch in the shot so I can tell when to release the ball. So with that, I just kind of figured, I looked at some of the bases that you've used and exactly what you like in those, and settled on a base, picked the base out, and then I was looking for that hitch. And, you know, one of the successful hitches I've given out to a lot of people is Kevin Durant. You did not want Kevin Durant. So
no.
I was looking around trying to see what I could find, and I found a good. Do we want to give this jump shot out to the listeners at home, or do they have to ask somebody?
You can detail what you did. I guess I don't really. I mean, I don't care either way.
Yeah. All right, so we started off the base.
It's up to you. You're jump shot Jesus.
It was a nice little base that. You know, nice, quick and to the point, straight up, no faking, and, you know, just cooking and seasoning like a pound of bacon. So that was the basic base. Released one with Damian Lillard, who had a little bit of a hitch to it. But the thing I didn't like about just those two combinations is it didn't have a smooth hit. It had a bit of like a janky hitch. So I went in and found Harrison Barnes, who I've also used a lot, and whenever I use Harrison Barnes, I 50-50, and Harrison Barnes is like the smoother outer in the release combinations, and basically put those together, and voila, there it is.
Yeah, you know, to kind of add on to that, I think one of the things I told you about the base is I kind of like that, how do I describe it, the little foot thing at the bottom of the base, and you'll kind of know that when you see some of the jump shot bases. How would you describe it? Because it's just like a little glitch where some of them, they take a little step. Some of them, they glitch behind the line. I mean, what are you really looking at there?
Like in a roundabout way, if you ever watch a girl shoot a basketball, if they're farther away from the hoop, they tend to rev themselves up and step into the ball and shoot. Well, it's like a very minimal step before the jump. So, I mean, basically, I feel like it gets your foundation going for the jump, and then you jump versus just jumping straight up, you know, on point for catch and shoot. So
yeah, it really just sets a little timing with it. And what I like about it is it seems like, especially on the catch and shoots, but even if you're dribbling up and you kind of stop for a second and shoot, it just kind of reaffirms that base. It, as opposed to just all of a sudden jumping up and being weird, it kind of has that timing down to it, where it has that little, you know, because some of them are kind of like what you're talking about with the revving up thing, where there's like a full step. And then also some of them are kind of like the Derrick Rose is one that I point to a lot. That's not a recommended base for people. That's not a typical base that people like to use. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but for me, I like it because it has that little glitch. It's hard to explain. It's that little glitch at the bottom where the foot just like steps behind the line real quick. Like it just kind of floats back. It's really hard to describe without looking at it, but you know, my personal opinion is that's one of the biggest things about a jump shot is the base, because that's the whole jump, that's the whole, you know, timing of everything.
Well, you also notice that when you're in the corner with those little step shots, like you kind of feel like you hit the invisible 3-point wall from the corner, so it kind of guides you on when to let go of the ball. But also with these type of bases, especially with the releases that I found together, generally when you're at the top of your base, the ball is above your head at the apex, and then I mean it's just very easy to release the ball because you can see when you're supposed to do it. Whereas you, like the Derrick Rose, and I don't think it looks anything like Derrick Rose's real shot. It looks like you're levitating into the fucking air. Like I've tried it a few times. Like Monte Ellis has that kind of thing, and I think
yeah,
Base 80 does some kind of levitation shit. And like you'll notice it more.
There's a few of them, yeah.
The shorter your player is, the more you levitate. Blah blah blah. But yeah, so I mean,
what
base is huge? What's that?
Yeah, Westbrook. Well, I was going to say Westbrook's is kind of like that too, somewhat. His is more so just like a really high jump than like one of the levitate ones. But, and that you know, that led me to remember one of the other things you were talking about too is the hitch in the jump shot. Me personally, I like the Trey Burke thing. I like some of, like Kevin Love has a little bit, like some of the jump shots that are kind of more in front of their face and they have that little hitch that's like you were talking about, kind of a janky, very, you know, rugged. I don't know what the word, that's probably not the word I'm looking for, but you know, one of those kind of hitches. And I've always kind of liked that, but you were saying, nah, I wanted to smooth that out with either like Durant or, you know, use the Harrison Barnes ones. I think is what you had in there. And in me playing around with it a little bit, I've noticed that smoothing it out with a release like that on the back end actually really does help a lot. I've tried out a few jump shots with, like I said, Trey Burke, because that's just one that I like. It has a little hitch. And then, you know, throwing a Harrison Barnes or a Durant or, for me, Kobe Bryant and Derrick Rose have kind of some of those smoother. There we go with Derrick Rose again. I just have always liked his jumper for some reason. It's just me, but, I found that to be something big, especially for fighting through the latency online. Smoothing that jumper out is something that's pretty huge.
Yeah, and generally, the more fluid the jump shot is, like when you run into lag in the park, the more those shots will still respond, you know, depending on how horrendous, we all know 2K lag can be. It's something that's in there that can weather the storm. Because let's face it, when you go into a park in NBA 2K, your lag can be anything from, eh, there's lag and what the fuck is this? And I mean, even in Pro-Am, you notice the rise up and levitate out of bounds for no fucking reason. Like, no human being can just fucking, I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of wizards or warlocks that know how to do that, but it doesn't happen. Parker. Right. Fuck that guy. And you just get it together and you want a shot that works both ways. Now, how did you find the shot Pro-Am versus Park? Did you have to switch or did you use them in each area?
Well, a lot of people have their Pro-Am and Park and My Career different releases for the different modes because they feel there's different latency in the different modes and all that nonsense. Personally, I just like to use one jumper across all formats, so I stuck with it. I had a Park release, actually, speaking of the different releases, I had a separate one that was is way different from some of the other ones I was using, and it actually was really cool. This was a way back in the earlier part of the cycle of 2K when I had the sharpshooter, but I like sticking with the same one. It's maybe slightly different timing, just because the park's more arcadey, if you will, but you can just get the timing down. You can shoot better in the park because you can shoot from half court and stuff like that. I didn't switch it. I just left it left it to be the same jumper. Maybe took a little bit getting used to it first, but it's the same thing overall, in my opinion.
And if you're, you know, you're at home and you're having difficulty shooting, just go into that jump shot creator and mess around. I mean, if you have a shot that, let's say you hit, I don't know, 70% of the time, but there's just times in the shot where you feel you're not hitting or you feel like you're releasing when you should and you don't, go in that jump shot creator and just mess around a little bit. Change the timing, maybe add a release to the end. And, I mean, the real way to go about it is to go in there and actually do the experiments. And the one thing I can't stress enough is if you find a jump shot that you like, take it into the park and Pro-Am and play more than one game, like play a couple games to then either like it or rule it out, because just adding a 10% different release at the back end of it will change that shot a little bit. So at first when you go in there, it might seem a lot different, especially if you have your home court on rookie, you know, when you're grinding through your career and then you go to the park, which is on like all-star or whatever. So just don't give up on it right away and always fine tune and tinker, because 2K is constantly changing because they are not a stable environment, if you will.
Yeah, you know, to kind of add on to that too, that's a pretty good point in general about my player. There are certain days where the 2K servers might be a little bit different somehow, where you might be feeling a little bit different of a latency or things like that. So on a day-to-day basis, things could feel a little bit differently. And then also, every single game that you play, whether it's a park game, my career game, or a pro-am game, your player, this is kind of a little insider tip that people don't necessarily realize as far as I've seen, your player plays a little bit differently. It goes along the lines of the realism that they introduced, I believe in 2K, I think it was just last year's 2K16, with the, you know, I mean, every player plays a bit differently in every game. Not every player is going to score 60 points every game. Maybe they have a bad game, good game.
Especially because kind of in the park, you only go up to 21.
Yeah, and 2K introduced that last year's game with the main modes, and it actually carried over to the my player stuff. Some games, your player might be not as good offensively or defensively or what have you, and that goes into some of the offensive consistency and defensive consistency ratings as well that people don't necessarily realize, but that's how those work. And it, you know, those ratings, we can get into those ratings some of the time, but that's one of the big things. I'll say that I've noticed it heavily on my lockdown defender, because as a lockdown defender, your offensive ratings are much lower than all the other archetypes, pretty much. And with a 40 offensive consistency, if you don't grind that out and you go in there, some games my lockdown defender would be pretty struggling to do things. In other games, I'd be pretty great. That would just be easier games to make some shots, do some things, and that's due to that offensive consistency versus having the 94, I think, offense or defensive consistency with that lockdown. I was pretty solid defensively every game, and you kind of notice that. It's weird they put the consistency rating in the defense for the defensive thing as opposed to the offensive consistency as something else you have to grind, but whatever. But, you know, that is something to play into account, and basically just building off what you said, play a few games with it, try it out for, you know, some, a multiple multiple games for a while, because it really will treat you differently every few games, every day, depending on the different things.
And just for fun, you can also fuck around and try to make the grossest shot ever made, which I've done a lot. It's just kind of fun, but we'll get into that some other day. So let's talk a little bit about our experiment that we did concerning you, your rebounding ability, and an archetype. What exactly did we do?
So we decided that I was going to do a 6'3 glass cleaner. I, as we know, I'm the Baron of Boards and Blocks. But essentially, I've never made a glass cleaner archetype this year. Most of my best rebounding archetypes are going to be my lockdown archetypes. I max my rebounding on every character for the most part. So my rebounding is typically about a 70, maybe.
To
high
be
60.
Fair, all your characters have max rebounding.
Aha. But we always got to get that joke in somewhere.
Yeah.
But. So we decided, let's take a look at, A, how important is that rebounding number, really? Because if I'm going to make a 6'3 glass cleaner who has 91 rebounding, it goes down from 94 since you're so small, you know, that attribute is going to be a big deal. You're not going to be able to rebound with a 6'3 guy with a low attribute. So it'll highlight, you know, how big of a deal is that rebounding. Plus, being 6'3", I went minimum weight just to do it, get the most speed and athleticism. Ended up being a small forward, because the smallest I could go was 6'3", small forward for a glass cleaner. And 86 speed and acceleration, 83 vertical, I believe is the number. And the character was a pretty interesting build, because you heard me saying, I think it might be my second best ball handling character. To
right.
Playmaker point guard, because it's just odd. NBA 2K Lab, we've mentioned that website before. I would check that out if you're listening in. They do some cool experiments on just how everything is affected in the game, whether it's ratings or height and weight and all the good stuff. But essentially, they noted that if you are a faster player, like your speed and acceleration numbers versus your speed with ball number, you will be better with the ball, faster with the ball than if you were a slower player with maybe a little bit higher speed with ball. I don't know if that was clear, but essentially, like, if you're an 80 speed player with a 70 speed with ball, you're going to be faster than a 70 speed player with a 70 speed with ball. You know, it's that. So going along with that, that player actually had some decent ball handling. It was kind of odd. But getting to the experiment and how the player turned out, I actually averaged a triple double over multiple games with that player. Now, the triple double is kind of arbitrary, because, you know, I was going for stats in a bit, you know, and I was just trying to make the most of it. But the main point here is the rebounding. I was able to gather double digit rebounds every single game with a 6'3 player, with 6'3 glass in here. I will say the rebounding made a huge difference, and the vertical made a big difference, having that athleticism. Being able to jump that high really allowed me to get up and go after the ball. If I couldn't jump that well, then it wouldn't have mattered as much. But the rebounding rating is huge, because the ball gravitates towards your hand and you grab it when you have a higher rebounding rating. Most people, if you read, you know, Reddit or the 2K forums or just the community in general or what have you, just the general opinion is that rebounding rating doesn't matter. You just need to get position, box out, time to jump, those things. To an extent, that is the biggest part of rebounding, is getting position, you know, getting the timing, figuring out where the ball is going to come off the rim. But I will tell you, the rebounding rating does matter. If you have a shitty rebounding rating, you're either going to tip the ball sometimes, your player just won't grab the ball sometimes, what have you. If you have an average to good rebounding rating, which is pretty much most characters outside of the glass cleaner, you know, I try to max my rebounding out to about the 70 or whatever that most max out at, I grab rebounds at a pretty fairly good rate. I would say that it is a sufficient rating to allow me to rebound the heck out of the ball, to out-rebound people, because I have better positioning and timing and all that than them. But if you have that 90-whatever rebounding, that's really going to be a huge advantage. And it's just, it's kind of funny that I was able to kind of prove that in this experiment, at least to myself prove it, but say that it's a big deal. I mean,
but
you played
all
a few games
what
with
you might
that
do
character.
Next year?
It hasn't in the sense that I'm not going to make a glass cleaner character as far as a wing is concerned. But I think if we do have the whole primary and secondary archetypes that we'll get into some other time that we've been kind of hearing might happen with 2K18, I might make a secondary archetype of the glass cleaner. I might have that be part of my build. But, you know, you saw the glass cleaner in action for a couple games at least. What were your thoughts as far as this whole thing goes?
Well, it's worth noting that we played with a glass cleaning center, not to be named. But you were pretty much right there, equally rebounding through, I think, two or three games with a 7 foot, 6'11", I don't know how tall his glass cleaner was, but, I mean, you were pretty much doing exactly what he was doing with a big-ass center.
Yeah, it was our little game, too. That was a separate whole entity of just a little competition between he and I. It was funny, but... yeah, you know, that's the thing is it really is positioning and timing and all that is super important. Cannot be stressed enough. But that rebounding rating is huge, too. I was able to do those things with a 6'3 player. 6'3. I mean, you're not going to make a 6'3 player. I mean, some people will. I'm just saying the mass majority of people are making 6'6, 6'7, 6'8, 6'10. And then if you're a big guy, you know, 7 foot and up. But I just think it was an interesting little experiment. I mean, again, using the word experiment, but a little experiment we did.
How do you think you'd do if you made a standard small forward, like, say, 6'8", 6'9"? Do you think that you could have done a lot more than you did with the 6'3 character?
I think I definitely would have out-rebounded our center, not to be named, more so than we pretty much were. Tit for tat with all of our rebounds, we were pretty even, honestly. I think if I had those units, especially 6'8 or 6'9, because I used to out rebound him sometimes with a 6'7 lockdown, or not out rebound, but well, yeah, out rebound. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Anyway, 6'8 or 6'9 glass cleaner, yeah, I think I definitely could have. The height does help, it can't be understated. The height does matter, but I have rebounding rating, man. The only reason that I haven't made a glass cleaner this year is that I've often found the lockdown / paint protector build to be a better fit for me. I like the added athleticism and defense, and I sacrifice a little bit in the layups and the rebounding rating because I am elite at the timing, positioning, and where the ball comes off the rim in figuring all of those things out in my rebounding, and the 77 rebounding rating for a lockdown is good enough for me to grab the majority of boards and that. But if I had that 91 rebounding rating or 94, once you get up to that higher, taller player, yeah, that would make a big difference. I just enjoy the athleticism.
I think it'd be really funny next year, if you made a small forward glass cleaner and I made my post score, and we played with the unnamed center, and all three of us had brick wall, so fucking great.
That would be
amazing.
Pretty hilarious. Just
good shit there.
People down, play with a sharpshooter, and just
wreak havoc.
It would be awesome. So that pretty much sums up that whole 6'3 glass cleaner thing, I think. I mean, you know, if you guys ever have any questions, you can always hit us up on Twitter at
NBA 2K Shovel.
Yes, sir. Mike is always manning that account. He is awesome at what he does in the Twitter sphere and everything else. But that is something you can always do if you ever have any, want to hear more details about something that we've been talking about or have any other questions or just want to tell us fuck you or oops, or anything of the sort. But yeah, that's pretty much sums that up. So
if you want help with your jumper too, you can hashtag fix my jumper and give me an idea of the shots you've been using, and I'll help you out if you want to do that on Twitter also. And most importantly, if you are satisfied with the jumper I make you, Max will come to your house and make you pancakes for breakfast. All right, let's talk a little bit about
that
some
is
NBA
not
2K
a binding agreement.
18 news. Why don't you tell us the latest that you know that is going on in the world of NBA 2K18? Maybe not as much hurry up and wait, but probably so.
Well, in the last week or so, we've gotten an okay amount of news. I mean, it's still only like a month away from the game's release, and we really haven't gotten a whole lot, but they've started to release player screenshots. I've seen Steph Curry, Nick Young, Kevin Durant, Dwight Howard.
Who is Steph Curry? Fuck Steph Curry, fuck Steph Curry. White skin bitch, push that bitch. He ain't shit, he just a bitch. Shooting up threes, cakes and get to the hole cause he a bitch. His bitch on my dick, yeah, yeah. His daughter is ugly as fuck and his son look like a mutt. DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, there's the Steph Curry run. Fuck Steph Curry, fuck Steph Curry. White skin bitch. Carl Anthony Towns, maybe? No, that's not.
Victor Oladipo in the new Victor Nike Oladipo Patriot jersey.
And Victor Oladipo in the neck. And somebody else, I feel like, that I cannot remember at the moment. But my takeaway from these screenshots is they look hugely realistic. Markel Fultz and Lonzo Ball today. And the screenshots look hugely realistic. My thing about that is they do pretty much every year. However, they look a lot better this year, and they will continue to do so every year. But I'm a bit more interested in seeing how they look when we really get to actually playing the game and they're moving around and all of that good stuff. And I'm more interested in the gameplay mechanics and all that other good stuff. I think the aesthetics are super important, and they're doing great things with that. But let's look into some of the gameplay aspects. Some of the other news that we've seen also is within the past week or so, they released the My League and My GM blog, or whatever they call it, with one of the developers, the main My League, My GM guy, going over all the changes for that this year. Did you take a look at that? I think I sent that to you.
Yeah, I did see that there is kind of a My Career type feel to My GM this year, which could be pretty interesting. Let me ask you this, as far as My League goes, I didn't exactly think that they were clear in what they were saying, but from what maybe they were trying to say, is it true you think that the online My Leagues will not have expansion teams?
Will you say will now or will not?
Will now?
Yeah, I think they will. So essentially, yeah, my big takeaways from that were my GM and My League had basically become a very similar mode, and that's what I thought, and never really thought deeply about it, but they obviously did. And they came to the same conclusion. And so, like you said, MyGM will have a story component, and that will be more of a story-driven mode. However, you can take your own choices. But I like where they've gone with that. It really will be, I think, an interesting mode. And then moving over into the My League stuff, like you're talking about, as far as I can see, there are going to be no major changes to online except for, like, two or three. One is the expansion team thing that you're talking about, as far as you can rebrand teams and, you know, move them and do all that good stuff with them and potentially maybe expand the league. I'm not entirely sure. That wasn't, like you said, that wasn't entirely clear. And the other thing is now that you can reset playoff games in online My Leagues, which that should have always been an option, and why they're selling that as a big feature, but whatever. Still, that is a major glaring hole that was there that needed to be fixed. So at least they did that. But other than that, it sounds like we're not going to get full off seasons. We're not going to get the whole immersive My League mode online. We're going to get the same bullshit off season fantasy draft, all the other nonsense that goes along with what they've tried to do with online the past couple of years. And on the one hand, some people within 2K are going, you know, let's just take a beat. We're getting there. We're developing it. That's bullshit. You can write the code in the game for offline. You can write it for online. It's really not that hard.
That's what she said.
You know, LD2K was talking about how, you know, I can't speak to the difficulty of coding and such, and I'm sure it's much more difficult than we can imagine, which is why it's not here yet. Dude, it's all the same code. It's all the same stuff. It doesn't change that much, you know, a little bit, but not that much to implement it into an online mode versus an offline mode. It really should be there. It's in my opinion, more laziness on the part of 2K, but overall, whatever. It's a good mode overall. It just, we really need these things to be consistent.
And can we address a little bit, like, Ronnie2K and LD2K, how whenever they come out and say something about the game, they're really not saying anything at all? Like, I would just much rather they just drop everything on one day, rather than, well, we can't really talk about that because I value my job, but let's just say some basketballs will fly in the air. Like, no shit. Like, no one gives a fuck about these little menial things. And I know you're not a fan of NBA 2K Live, but we already know the demo is dropping August 11th.
Yeah, dude.
We've seen tons of screenshots out of, I don't know, pure craziness. If they think that, oh my God, NBA Live is going to restructure their game, if we say this about our game, dude, their game is already done and it's already going to be out. And all I'm saying is you got a big fan base out there, and EA being smart saying, here's our demo for free, go play it. You want to play with us and not 2K. And then you've got 2K where they're like, well, they got a new game coming out, but check it out. This is what Victor Oladipo looks like. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like, just this shit, like the My League stuff. Like, some people care, but you know that the vast majority of people that play 2K are playing My Player, playing My Career, are excited about the E League stuff, and telling us about
it. Take umbrage.
4 days.
Sorry.
4 days before the game comes out isn't really big news to anybody. Just get out. So, I mean, look, I know that you haven't been a huge fan of Madden lately, but like, Madden's coming out the 25th of August, and we've been seeing new shit on Madden probably three times a week since the 1st of July. So I just wish that they would put a little bit more thought into what the people want to say. And I think it's great that, you know, Joe Schmo from YouTube got to go to play the game, and because that doesn't tell us anything. It doesn't tell us a damn thing about anything, because those people can't come back and post anything on YouTube until you release everything that you're talking about. So that's good that, yeah, you're getting input for people that play the game, but for the vast majority of your consumers who aren't YouTubers, you know what, man, just level with us. Get us excited. Let me look forward to this game rather than, you're like, yeah, it must not be that good because they ain't coming out with shit, you know?
I will agree with you and disagree with you on parts of that. Okay. I agree completely on the whole information stuff and all of that, everything you were discussing there as far as that goes. However, I suppose they just want to spoon feed us information to make us more excited and whatever. I'm sure it's part of a marketing strategy that they've thought out, but it's all bullshit. Like you said, just tell us the info. However, when it comes to the, I think it was four people going to play the game ahead of time, that's not actually part of releasing information or any of that. It's actually getting feedback as far as the gameplay and such goes to, they won't be able to change much with their day one release, but as far as their first patches come along doing that. And who's going is Dimes, who is, look, Dimes is not that good. I'm going to say it on the podcast for everyone to hear. He's really not as good as he's meant out to be. But anyway, Dimes, a top pro-am player, is one of them. They have, now the name escapes me. That really makes me mad. Timely Cook, who was also on the winning Xbox My Player pro-am, is the word I'm looking for, pro-am team. He was the lockdown defender. They've got him going to play out there. They have one YouTuber who I don't remember his name, who does a lot of my team and my league content stuff, where he's just playing around doing those kinds of things. And they have another user who is another type of game mode as well that he's playing, more so the play now stuff. He does a lot of my team pack openings and other things, and just some different stuff. They really gathered a different community of players, which I liked, to get the view from all sides of different people who play the game. I thought that was actually a cool, good thing they did, to kind of say, hey, okay, here, we're listening to the community. We're listening to people who might actually know something legitimate about what people might want, / have a real good opinion about things, as opposed to some of these people who are going online posting or, you know, talking or wherever you're listening to people, but having just bad opinions, things that aren't realistic, can't be done, that they're wrong about, just what have you. I think they got a few guys who actually will give them good feedback. And I actually think it's a good thing.
I agree with you there, but I mean, just look at the people that went out to EA Play. You see people posting their videos on YouTube of what the gameplay looks like for NBA Live. I'm just saying that, hey, I understand, like, some of that shit, though, you know that they've called people out there last year to play the game, you know, ahead of time. And 2K17 comes out, and, like, the day one patch was absolutely ridiculous. And
they packed a new play game for, like, a week.
Right. There were still things that you just couldn't believe that they released. Now, look, telling me that, hey, man, we got the new Nike jerseys in the game. Well, no shit. If the NBA has new jerseys, they're obviously going to be in the game. Like, just stuff like that to me doesn't get me excited. That just goes without saying. Like, oh, the Washington Wizards moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and now Kalamazoo, Michigan's in 2K27. Well, no shit. Just give me a little something. You can give me the little bullshit, but
hot
give me a little
right
more.
There.
Right?
Washington Wizards moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan in 2027.
Right. The Kalamazoo Canucks or something. I don't fucking know. But, I mean, just give me a little more than what they're giving me. Because, I mean, it's I don't know, man. Because
I agree.
Have you heard anyone hype other than the developers about this game? Because I haven't heard shit from anybody.
I actually have heard a decent amount of people pretty excited about. But they're excited about what they... I'm excited about it. We're excited for the game to come out. We're excited for some of the top players are excited for the E-League stuff. We're excited for those developments. But we're excited because of what we expect could possibly, potentially, maybe happen. We're not excited because of any news they're giving out. No, like you said, we're not drawn to anything. We're not going, oh, hey, there's going to be such and such in the game. That's really exciting. Like, no, we're not. None of that info is. And again, like you said, it's probably part of their marketing strategy. It's something they've developed out. But give me a break, man. Again, it's a whole thing about video games and the state of the video game world today as far as information releasing and all that. But I agree. Get the information out earlier. Let us know what's going on. It's kind of BS that we got to wait until like a week before the game to figure out. Well, we basically have to wait until the game comes out to even see what the game's about. You have to buy the game to see what it's about. They just release you little tidbits of info before the game comes out, and they just expect that you're going to buy it anyway.
True. And before we get out of here, let me just ask you this question. What's the one thing in the new 2K coming out that you would like to see more than anything else? Either a change or a new feature, what is it?
Wow, that's a good one that I was kind of blindsided with.
Well, I'll give you mine. I'll give you a second to think. I'll tell you, this might sound sarcastic, and it is a little bit, but I'm serious. Just tell me that the load times are cut in half. Just half. Let it take me 10 minutes to play with my friends instead of 25. That's all I want. And now I know 10 plus 10 is 20, but really, when it comes down to it, if they're telling you it's cut in half, it's probably not. Just cut the load screen shit out. That's what I would like to see. Go, sir.
Well, I think I would have said, since I'm a decently big my player, or my league player, is that I would have liked to see the My League Online reflect the My League Offline. But since we've kind of already seen now that that's not going to happen, I think my next thing would have to be an upgrade to the archetype system, which we've rumored and they've kind of hinted at that they did upgrade it and retweak it and make it better. But that's my biggest thing, is hopefully they came up with a system that allows for a lot of customization, even if it is something like a primary, secondary archetype that we've kind of been hearing, where your primary archetype is your main one with your grand badge and your upgradable badge. Your secondary is something you'd be good at, but not get all the extra badges for. We've been hearing that might be the case. It's just a rumor, though. Even if they did something like that, okay, now you have so many options, because you could be a glass cleaner sharpshooter. You could be a sharpshooter glass cleaner. You could be a just anything. But that was the first thing I happened to think of course, me and the rebounds. But that's something I would like to see how they do, and what I'm interested to see what happens is the whole archetype system for what the My Player, etc., will revolve around.
I mean, for sure, we definitely could use some diversity, and I'm not talking about a wooden ship.
Well, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
That's right. Ron, I would be surprised if the affiliates were concerned about the lack of an old, old wooden ship, but nice try.
So next time, folks, we're probably talking about a whole kind of different new 2K18 news, hopefully. And we'll have some more news and notes coming for you. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and go over to iTunes. Give us a review, take a screenshot of that, and tweet it at us. You will be entered to win a copy of NBA 2K18. If you are one of the first 15 people to do so, two of you will win a brand new copy. And Max said last program, or maybe two programs before, he will absolutely get your My Player up to snuff and grind out a career for you. So that's very nice of him.
I think we're going to have to go back and listen to that and see exactly what I did say and what I may have committed myself to.
It's definitely there. But I mean, it's all good, and it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
But if you are a 2K developer and you want to give us some news, or maybe you want to come on the podcast,
developers,
for free to tweet
developers
at us, whether you're Mike Wang or Ryan 2K or LD2K or Rachel Demita, we'll take anyone at this point that just wants to get a little bit more light and, you know, come on the air and talk to us. What more could you possibly want? I mean, it's fucking immaculate fucking times on this side of the 2K Shuffle. So with all that being said, don't forget to hug your mom, tip your waitresses, and catch you next time on the 2K Shuffle.
I am elite at legitimately about shit myself.
I'm out this bitch.